The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yeah, interesting to see that the Biden administration apparently has renewed its connections with the Palestinian Authority. Mm-hmm. That certainly has signaled some intentions. At least there are some reports in today's papers that there are some links that are going on. And unfortunately, there seems to have been an incident this morning where apparently a shooting incident, I understand, where people have actually been killed. Student policemen were involved. I'm still trying to get the breaking news just to understand exactly what's happening, but there's certainly some breaking news and incidents this morning of quite serious nature. Hopefully as we go along we can pick up to see what's happened.
All right, and you'll keep us posted as far as that's concerned. But in the meantime, Israel has established diplomatic relations with Kosovo over Zoom, which is quite incredible. Tell us about the background to this relationship.
So this is something that really is still a fallout or an effect from the Trump administration, because we remember that the Trump administration established relationships with Serbia, came to an agreement with Serbia in terms of which Serbia and Israel would renew their diplomatic relations. And arising from all of that, Kosovo has decided to enter into diplomatic relations with Israel. And we believe that this is the first time that it's ever happened that diplomatic relations have actually been established remotely over a video conference link. On this occasion, it was done on the Zoom platform. So that was the very first time. Israeli Foreign Minister Gabi Ashkenazi signed three agreements. The agreements were scanned to his Kosovo counterpart in Pristina, who also signed the agreements. And the diplomatic relations were actually put into place in exactly that way. Now, we understand that Kosovo is intending to open an embassy in Israel, in Jerusalem, which is the plan, along with Serbia as well. If Kosovo does open its embassy in Jerusalem, it will become the first Muslim-majority country in the world to open diplomatic relations, a diplomatic mission, and an embassy particularly in Jerusalem. So that will be certainly a very significant event. We understand that Israel at the moment is not planning to open an embassy in Pristina, but I'm guessing that the possibility is that the Serbian embassy may well also double up as an embassy to the country of Kosovo as well. And that often happens where ambassadorial services are shared between various countries in order to make things easier. But this is an interesting relationship, because Kosovo, like Israel, also battled for a significant period of time to get recognition from the international community. And so I think for Kosovo, this is a very significant step, because it is some recognition of their rights in the international community, as much as it is about establishing relations between the two countries. So even though I don't know that there's a massive amount of trade or interest that might flow between the two countries at the moment, but there certainly has been a history. And of course, Kosovo is one of those countries that was involved as in the Shoah. There were apparently some survivors from the Shoah, from people who were families of Kosovars who saved Jews during the Shoah and were recognized by Yad Vashem. They were also present at the ceremony in Pristina. And it's also, of course, significant that Israel accepted refugees from Kosovo in 1999, during that time when the war was raging and they were looking for places for refugees to travel to. So Israel was involved at that time in accepting refugees. And it shows that, you know, the relations between the two countries don't start today or yesterday when the official signatures were put on the page. But of course, there has been a relationship already for some time. And so Israel will have what they call a non-resident ambassador to Kosovo, which I presume will come from Serbia, and they will act. But anyway, it's good, again, you know, even though this might not be a relationship that will generate massive amounts of trade and will be very significant on the, you know, foreign policy agenda. But once again, it's better to have friends than to have enemies. And we hope that this relationship will help to pursue Israel's interests as well as Kosovo's interests in the international community.
Absolutely right. On late Friday, this news broke, but it didn't really gather much momentum. And I'm pleased to be speaking about it with you because I'd like to just get a bit more details. A bomb exploded near the Israeli embassy in New Delhi on Friday. And further reports have now revealed that information about a foiled attack on an Israeli embassy in East Africa. What is known about these incidents? I found the Indian incident very, very quiet in terms of mainstream news.
Well, the good news about the Indian incident is that it was quiet because there's no damage done and there were no injuries. But this bomb was detonated late Friday about 50 meters away from the Israeli embassy building in New Delhi. It damaged apparently just several cars, but nothing more than that. There were no real further reports. It was contained very, very quickly. But we do understand that there was a threatening letter that was followed up, that was sent to Israel's ambassador in India, where the people who wrote the letter to him effectively were representing India Hezbollah, and they appeared to link this attack in India to events that had taken place in Iran, most particularly the recent assassinations of Qasem Soleimani and also the assassination of Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, and the threats to the Israeli ambassador went as far as saying that, you know, you are in the eyes of a scanner and there is no way that you can escape and we have you covered and we are following every move that you make, and representing these Iranian links. So that's the way that the whole Indian explosion issue seems to have transpired. Nothing much more said about that. The Israeli ambassador to India, Ron Mulca, remains in New Delhi. I have no doubt that he's under increased security as a result of this particular incident. Not that he would have been under lax security to begin with. nonetheless, I'm sure that the security has been beefed up a little. And then yesterday, we have this report that comes out also on a very, very, very drip feed basis, very, very low scale, which says that there was an Iranian attack that was apparently being planned against an Israeli embassy in Eastern Africa. It doesn't say where in Eastern Africa. There aren't that many Israeli embassies within Africa in general, so one could probably work out more or less where it is. But also, further intelligence has suggested that these people who were apparently planning this attack were also scouting out the United States Embassy and also, interestingly, the Embassy of the United Arab Emirates in this particular African country. Some of the people were arrested who seemed to have been gathering intelligence, seemed to have been scouting the place out. Some of them were arrested in the country in question. Some of them were arrested in other African countries. They all have said, it seems, the information coming from the people who've been arrested all link their actions again to try to respond and avenge the assassinations of Soleimani and Fakhrizadeh. But nothing really much more is said. And, you know, where these attacks have been foiled, one somehow doesn't hear as much about it as, of course, when it's carried out. So we're very grateful that it's been foiled rather than allowed to continue to be carried out. But it does seem as if though the Iranians are active in somehow trying to avenge those assassinations, to try to at least increase their standing within the eyes of those who are their followers, because at the moment all their followers can see is that a number of high-ranking officials, very, very visible and very public officials, have been assassinated, we think by Israeli or Israeli-motivated people behind the scenes, and Iran hasn't responded at all. So at the moment, Iran is looking like they really need to do something in order to return some standing, some significance to their position, because at the moment they look like they could pretty much be hit in the most painful of places and have no real way to respond to it. At least that's, you know, the way that the message is being sent out right now.
Absolutely. And finally, Israel is set to provide the Palestinian Authority with 5,000 doses of vaccinations. What do we know about this?
Well, we understand. I mean, there's been a lot of reports and a lot of accusations leveled against Israel about its lack of support for the Palestinian Authority where vaccinations are concerned, given now that the Israeli public has been vaccinated up to a level of approximately 30%. That's the current number of Israelis who have been vaccinated, and that number is rising every day, although not quite as fast as it was before. But of course, a very, very large number of Israelis have been vaccinated and large quantities of vaccine available in Israel. And so there have been many people on social media and elsewhere who've stood up and said Israel has a responsibility to provide vaccine to the Palestinian Authority because this is a situation of occupation, and the Israelis occupy the Palestinian Authority, and therefore they have this responsibility. So I think there are a lot of mistaken notions within all of those accusations. But be that as it may, Israel has agreed to provide at least for the first instance some 5,000 vaccines to the Palestinian Authority to allow them to vaccinate their medical teams, their frontline medical teams to begin with. There was a report that the Palestinian Authority had succeeded in getting some of the Russian Sputnik vaccine from that the Russians had agreed to provide to it. There was quite a lot of press about this. And then all of that went away. The Sputnik vaccine did not arrive, and it's not clear exactly why or if they will be getting.
Well, I think the Palestinians have suffered enough, Anthony.
Well, you can take that view. Having said that, there are some reports that Israel would be providing as much as 20,000 vaccines to the Palestinian Authority, but there is still a lot of pressure to get more vaccine over to the Palestinians. And as I've said before, I think that Israel does have some interest in ensuring that the Palestinian Authority gets some vaccine. There is a lot of traffic movement backwards and forwards, people working in Israel, people going back to the Palestinian Authority. So there are people moving backwards and forwards. And so I think that Israel does have some interest to get some vaccine to the Palestinian Authority. But at least in the first instance, it would seem as if though the frontline medical staff are in line to get Israeli vaccine. And again, I don't know whether this is going to silence those people who are critical of Israel in the way that they're conducting COVID-19 issues, corona issues with the Palestinian Authority. I don't think there is enough that satisfy those people. No. But it is what, you know, that's just the situation as we have it at the moment.
Yep, and it will continue. It's just incredible what Israel has achieved with the vaccines and with the rollout. Hopefully the numbers now will just start to come right down.
Well, we certainly hope so. I mean, unfortunately, at the moment, the numbers remain quite high. A lot of people have been critical, saying that, you know, the vaccination program really isn't doing all that it should do. I think that it's still a little too early to judge the effectiveness of that vaccination program.
Absolutely right. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, this is where we leave it. Thank you, as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, same time, for the Israel Report.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.